It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for joining us. We're welcoming back a guest who is returning to both the show and the state for her first public appearance since 2012. Supremes, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members, America's most successful vocal group, Motown Records' most commercially successful act, and a source of inspiration, memories, and nostalgia for many people. Mary Wilson is an original member of the Supremes, a noted author with a new book actually due in a couple months. Dates at the Blue Note this weekend through Sunday, 6:30 and 9 each night. And it's a pleasure to welcome her back right now to All Things Considered. Aloha, Mary. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Yeah.
Your first gigs in Hawaii since Dates with the Symphony in 2012. That's when you were last on with us. This time you're back ahead of a release of another book, Supreme Glamour, it's called, which tells the story of the Supremes, but also focuses on your fashion and wardrobe.
Yes, you know, most people know the Supremes because of their music, but many, many people know us because of our glamorous outfits that we wore on all the various TV shows, Ed Sullivan, you know, the Dean Martin, the Flip Wilson, Sonny and Cher, all of that. And in England, of course, we performed for the royal family. We did a command performance, which was, I think it was Prince Charles and Princess Margaret and the Queen Mother. But it also has sort of like an overview in terms of the text, a historical kind of text in it. We did some command performance for the future king of Sweden. His older sister, the princess, used to drag him to our shows, and he was too young then. But he's the king now. He's actually the king. Who knew?
That command performance with the queen. Mm-hmm. Bring us back to that. How you had to get all gussied up and what you remember about that. That sounds interesting.
One of the biggest ones we did was in London, England, at the Palladium. The Queen actually didn't come that particular time. I'm not sure why. At the end of the show, we had to stand in the line, receiving line, had these beautiful gowns on, greeting the Queen Mother, the Queen's mom. And then Princess Margaret was there, you know, the naughty princess, and Princess Anne. You know, we were still very young. Maybe 25, 26.
Did you pick out what you were going to wear that day, or did you have like a guide in the band who, like, how did that kind of thing come to be?
Well, the three of us always were responsible for what we wore, except for the very first time at the Copacabana. That was like a travesty. and I think after, because our chaperones would plan what we were going to wear, and we got on stage and all the fake flowers started itching us and scratching us, and we just, when we came off, we like tore the flowers off the dress. By the way, that's on the cover of one of our famous albums, Supremes at the Copa. But those were the worst. After that, we decided we wanted to choose whatever we wore, and we were always in control of our look and what we wanted to wear.
The cover of The Return of the Magnificent Seven. You're standing in a field. Do you remember that one?
Are you kidding? That was beautiful, because on one side was the glamorous. We had gowns.
Right.
And the four tops had the beautiful suits, and on the back side, everyone was wearing leather back in those days, you know, in the 70s. So we were in our bell bottoms and leather outfits. Mine was so small, I must have been about size 5. I can't even get my arm into it now, you know. But that was one of my favorite album covers.
Well, thinking about developing the music that's on those albums, when you first met one of your future partners, Florence Ballard, you were in elementary school in Detroit. I've been curious, how much mm-hmm. had music already been a part of your life? And can you talk about that kind of development?
Sure. I'd love to talk about our early beginnings, because everyone that I know, a black and white artist, they all have the same influences, because rock and roll was still so very new, and we were that group of young people who were screaming and yelling, you know, back then. You know, so what really happened for us was that we were influenced by those early pioneers, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley. So that's why it was kind of cool that Mr. Gordy, Berry Gordy, and Motown had a sign above their door saying "The Sound of Young America." So that's kind of what we grew up in. Back, Flo, Diane, and I all were in 7th or 8th grade when we first met, and we just started singing because we enjoyed the music. We just enjoyed singing.
Do you still remember? And it's such a funny story, because Smokey Robinson arranges this a cappella audition for Berry Gordy. Even though that must have been so nerve-wracking for you, he says, "You guys should go back to school."
Well, the thing there was pretty much we were young girls, teenage girls in high school. I didn't realize this at the time. I don't think the others did as well, but the record company didn't want to have four teenage girls running around and somebody happened to get knocked up, you know. I believe, it was never said, but I believe that because we were so young, they didn't want to have anything to do, and they were still a young company as well.
Sounds like you can respect where they were coming from, though.
Yeah, and they brushed us off in that way. But you know what? We were not the kind of girls that were going to stop school anyway. I mean, our parents would have killed us, you know. So for him to say something like that to us, where it was like just ludicrous, but it still made sense. I understand it now. It's like, okay, come back when you're a little older.
But you had a lot of persistence, and it led to you frequenting the studio, spending time being there, and eventually working your way into initially doing hand claps, backing vocals for people like Marvin Gaye.
And you're right. The bottom line was that we made them sign us. You know what I mean? We made them see that we really were as good as we thought we were. But we did have something very special, the four of us did. And we were four before there were three of us.
Again, we're talking with the great Mary Wilson of the Supremes at the Blue Note this weekend, and a new book coming in September. And I understand in the book, which is called Supreme Glamour, you tell the story of your Supremes' 1964 breakthrough hit, Where Did Our Love Go?
Yes. What's really great about our recording history is that we didn't have any hit records until our, I think it was the 7th or 8th release. And that really was disappointing because, you know, we were called the no-hit Supremes. I kind of made that up myself because I knew people were talking about us behind our backs. As I said, we thought we were really good. And for us not to get a hit record when everyone else who was coming into Motown, like the Marvelettes, like Martha and the Vandellas, they were coming in and getting hit records, and we were the first girl group. Finally, Holland Dozier Holland, the producers, wrote this record for us, Where Did Our Love Go? And it became number one. Well, it not only became number one, but it kind of changed the music scene forever because we had 5 consecutive number ones after that record. And then I think 1 or 2 did not make it to number one, but then the next 4 were consecutive number ones. So, yeah, that record really did changed who we were. We were now international stars.
And they did something so unusual with you guys. The Supremes were paired at times with fellow Motown acts, the Temptations for 2 collaborative albums, and then the Four Tops for 3 records.
Mm-hmm. I think because of the history that all the bands had and because of how Motown Records itself was set up, we being all the artists, would sit in on some of the other artists' recording sessions. And if they needed an extra voice or if they needed a hand clap, people would just do it. I remember on that 2nd record, I think, when the Love Light Shines Through His Eyes, the Four Tops and 2 of the Holland Brothers were on that recording session. Very few people know about that. And so later on, when we were teamed up with the Temptations, it was because Eddie Kendricks and Paul Williams were the group that started us singing. They became the Temptations, 2 members of the Temptations. But in the beginning, the Primes, they were the ones who started the Primettes as a group. So then we went on to become the Supremes. So when later on, we both became big hits, you know, the Temptations and Supremes, it was just a wonderful thing to have the two of us start recording together. So it was almost like we came back together as singers. Of course, you mentioned earlier about the Four Tops and the Magnificent 7. That was also great, you know, because we all kind of started there at Motown.
And some great stuff with the Four Tops. River Deep, Mountain High.
I think that was a top 5. I'm not quite sure how high it went on the charts. And, of course, Ike and Tina Turner recorded it. But very few people know that we, the Four Tops and Supremes, had a huge hit, a top 10 hit on that song.
You have had so many hits, been all over the place, and we're so fortunate to have you back in the islands and joining us at this intimate venue, the Blue Note. I really enjoy getting to talk with you, Mary. I hope that this was a fun time for you.
It was wonderful. So now you make sure you keep me a copy because we talked about some nice, interesting things, okay?
Thank you.
I would appreciate it. I'm like a hoarder. I keep things so I can keep it in my files.
I will do that for you. Take care, Mary. Aloha.
Okay, bye-bye. Aloha.